Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Tonight I want to welcome back to the show Leo Zagami. He is the author of over a dozen books, and he is a former member of the Illuminati and New World Order turned whistleblower. He now exposes the evil agendas of the New World Order with his books, speaking at conferences, his appearances on InfoWars, and his YouTube channel. And he has recently relocated to the United States, and he joins us tonight from California. Leo, how you doing?
Very well, and Happy New Year to you and to all your viewers.
Yes, Happy New Year, and welcome back. It is a great time for you to be here, because there is so much going on. We're living in increasingly oppressive, dystopian times. It continues to manifest in our lives in increasingly variety of ways. Most people don't even notice, or they don't care. They're too afraid to speak up to do anything about it. And now we have this threat of World War III, and we're living in this terrifying cyber age of technology that has and always will be used not only against our enemies, but against us. There's so much going on right now. But Leo, it's been a while since you've been on. Tell us a little bit about your background before we get into this.
My background, first of all, when you say Illuminati, we have to understand really what are these Illuminati, because the Order of Adam Bishop didn't really have an historical continuation. There were some attempts. There was maybe some transformations into other kind of orders which sprang out of the example of Adam Weishaupt. There was definitely in 1880 in Dresden an attempt to reactivate the Illuminati cells in Germany, and it was done by Theodore Royce, and then later on in England also, leading on the Società Rosicruciana in Anglia, they actually received the rituals from Theodore Royce and started also the Illuminati in England that continued the tradition of Adam Weishaupt. But these have been just attempts, while instead on this side of the world, of the ocean, we had some secret societies that took inspiration, as I said, especially in the universities like Skull and Bones or other fraternities present in various campuses and universities that, of course, are connected after with the Jesuits inevitably, because they preside over all these secret societies, either directly, like they do, for example, like I show in my new book, I reveal, for example, for the first time, the existence of a secret society called the Orb. This secret society called the Orb is in Georgetown University and is a new secret society that is born out of the LGBTQ community. It's a very weird secret society that then is linked directly to the Jesuits and to the LGBT priests within the Catholic Church. Then we have also the Society of Stewards, which is very important, and we have people like the husband of Nancy Pelosi, because always linked to the Jesuits, always within Georgetown. These things that I am just telling you en passé are very important to people to realize who I am, because I was born into an aristocratic family with the royal connections, and I was able from a very young age to enter a reality made of a secret society, knighthoods, Freemasonry, and able to partake of certain mystery schools. I went, of course, for a period of my life into the dark side, I would say, with my work, because I was trying to understand really how deep was this rabbit hole. And in the end, I came out of it in 2006, a little bit like coming out on the other side of a tunnel with a lot of experiences, but it didn't end up there, because then in 2006, I made myself public with a website, Illuminati Confessions. It became quickly very popular. Between 2006 and 2008, I focused with other journalists like Greg Zismansky and other people, and with David Icke, brought out some of the articles that I forwarded to him from my early days, bringing out my behind-the-scenes story. Though this didn't really go down very well with the elite, because then they accused me of espionage. They got me arrested in Norway. They silenced me. They tried to silence me, they didn't really effectively ever silence me, but they tried numerous times. They took my only son. They did a series of things so I could be silenced. But as I said, it never really happened, this silencing, because it's in my nature to despise any attempt, even because even if it's of course touching your private sphere, no, which is usually very sacred for each human being, the family and everything that is around you, it was painful at times, but I managed in the end in 2009 to find the right people after still some bad episodes occurred. Some right people like my present wife, and also I went to Japan. I started a career in writing, becoming a published author of various bestsellers in Japan. And then in 2012, after several attempts, I managed to publish also in Italian. And from there on, I started to get also again, quite rather known in Italy, though I was known many years before that as an artist, as a record producer, as a TV presenter, radio presenter. But I then went back into Italy and lived it in a different way, because at that point I came out for who I was, really. And initially, it drew a lot of attention towards my person. I ended up also on national TV and all that. But then when I touched the political sphere, the political side of things, then they understood that I could be a threat again. And plus, at the same time, my books came out in Italian. It didn't took that long before the people read the books. And because I was writing of actual people, it's not like books of fiction, my books. It's books where you actually talk about real people. It didn't took much time for them to then retaliate. And the retaliation was pretty heavy. Now, I'm not going to all the details, but I would say that in the end, I'm lucky to be alive. And I made the first attempt to come and maybe relocate to the U.S. A few years earlier, but I wasn't ready yet. And so I just stayed here in the U.S. for having a good time and relaxing from what happened back in Europe. This happened in 2014 when I started also a brief collaboration with people like Sean Stone and other people in Hollywood to try to see if there was the margin to bring out my books in the English language. In the end, we managed. Thanks to CCCC Publishing, Brad Olsen did this effort in bringing out my first books in the English language. They were, of course, translated from Italian, so it took a number of years and a lot of work to actually bring them out. But from the very first book, which was Pope Francis, the Last Pope, question mark, we got a lot of attention. And, of course, I got involved with InfoWars and Alex Jones, who became a fan of this book, came to Rome and filmed a documentary dedicated to this book, which is called Demonic Possession of the Vatican Exposed, which you can also find on my YouTube channel. It's one of the surviving ones. It had, of course, hundreds of thousands of views, but after the purge that occurred on InfoWars last year, it was 2 years ago now, it was, of course, one of those videos was purged. So I think that I resumed, I kind of gave you a resume, a synthesis of who I am. I'm a person who had the privilege of being born in a particular setup, but I never really complied to the rules, which are very strict. And for that reason, at times I got in trouble. At times I was locked up in various ways. I ended up even with an accusation of espionage that fortunately was dropped. But it was definitely an adventurous life. And the last couple of years, the persecution in Italy got pretty intense. The police came to my door. They harassed me only for Facebook posts or simply for stating the truth about certain things within the local Italian political scene, but also the Masonic scene. I had been denouncing, as I repeat, when my books came out, I denounced in those books certain people. Those people got really, you know, angry at me, and they were very powerful. They controlled, like nowadays, it's been exposed with the after the arrest of more than 300 mafiosi in Calabria last month by Magistrate Nicola Gratteri, the names of the people who actually brought me to court. They were actually exposed by witnesses in the mafia trials. Now, a specific one called Cosimo Virgilio, who used to be also a worshipful master of a lodge. The connections between the mafia, both Andrangheta, Cosa Nostra, starts finally to come out. And I had brought out these connections in my books years earlier, though. So you see, bringing out that kind of information maybe too early in a country like Italy, which at the time was number 64 for the freedom of press, it was pretty dangerous because bloggers, journalists get continuously harassed by the mob of the mafia, and these gangsters don't stop at anything. So you do have to be very careful. Fortunately, as I said, I myself have my own methods because I come from within this world. So I never really left it completely. I kind of took the best of it and brought it with me. I tried to fight the evil lodges with good lodges, and I built up a Masonic opposition towards the enemy within, because you see, Freemasonry is a great thing, it's a great institution that has been in existence for thousands of years, since the beginning of civilization. Civilization needed to craft things together, to construct buildings. So the speculative after aspect of Freemasonry, of course, is being prominent in the last three centuries, let's say. But we have earlier on, let's say, integration of mystery schools that wanted to have their own temples built in sacred way, sacred geometry, in a sacred prospect towards reflecting below what was above. So we are talking here not necessarily of people who are evil. We are talking here about people that at one point in Freemasonry made some wrong decisions and took Freemasonry in 1877 with the Grand Orient of France to irregularity, to deal with politics, to deal with everything that was forbidden in regular Freemasonry. Now, we need to always distinguish these various elements, and that's why in my books I try to make them clear. I try to acknowledge historically what has happened within certain lodges. I bring facts rather than fiction because I think that facts are already interesting enough that we don't need to speculate. We need to simply study and accurately bring out what is true. And this is nowadays my work, both as a journalist and as somebody who comes from these traditions. I must say that in the end, though, if I didn't have my Christian faith that could always be protecting me with this protection that kind of I always invoked in the moments of need, I don't think I will be here with you today. So it's very important people understand that the occult is a very dangerous thing, absolutely. That Freemasonry is not necessarily occult, it's rather more of a social endeavor. It has esoteric elements, but the moment in which you use these elements positively, you're simply using them to make man better, not to make man worse. There's been, though, people, and we have discussed this even earlier on my show. I was with General Bartolomeo Savoio, the head of the P3, the heir of Licio Gelli, who gave me this rare interview. And we discussed the misunderstandings that there are and certain misconceptions in the outside world about what goes on in a fraternity that often fights within different factions. There is fights that can, of course, bring out the worst in people.
Now, there are certain dark factions that use these darker occult aspects, yes, and even satanic rituals and Satanism,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, absolutely. But that is because, first of all, You see, Freemasonry itself gave the possibility for a lot of mystery schools to find a home, no? Now, we know that since the ancient times, the evil, the dark side, has always tried to infiltrate the good side right there in the priesthood of goodness. In wherever they found the light, they want to bring necessarily some of their evil to counterbalance it in their own negative way. Now, the problem with today is that we have gone completely in the dark side and that the majority, unfortunately, of Freemasons today don't have clarity regarding their origins, which are Christians. They don't have clarity about their aim, their mission, because they don't see further than their, you know, than their sight, because they don't understand that you are reflecting on society, your behavior. And if your behavior is only superficial and is only linked to interests that are negative, so, I mean, if they're using the occult to bring money in their pockets, that is negative. That is, the occult shouldn't be used, that's it, shouldn't be used. I mean, it's a dangerous tool, whoever uses it. It's very rare that you can use this kind of tools for the betterment of mankind, you know. So to have them playing with these kind of forces, it becomes like basically witches and warlocks loose on mankind. And these days this happened because in this end time scenario that we are living, we are simply manifesting in the outside world something that was prophesied. So 2020 is part of all this. 2020 is the importance of the numbers. 20 is also the number of the judgment in the tarot cards. And that's why this is very important, you see. 2020 is not just a normal year. 2020 is a year where you have two opposing factions. You have the judgment upon mankind. You have the fighting of these two factions that eventually will bring to, of course, when two factions are becoming more and more aggressive towards each other, inevitably we're going towards a confrontation. So the what happened recently with the attack on Soleimani in Iraq. Soleimani is an Iranian general. What the heck was he doing in Iraq, first of all? You can't just think you can run loose all kinds of illegal operations, and in the end you will not get the natural reaction that you will get. And he has done a lot to sabotage American interests, Western interests. These are people who are really also involved with illegal activities. People don't know this, but for example, the Calabrian mafia that we're trying to fight in Italy, the 'Ndrangheta, uses the port of Gioia Tauro to exchange weapons with drugs with Hamas, and that was supervised in turn by people like Soleimani. Guys, the Palestinians are dealing with the devil. I don't care who they are, what they do. I don't care what is their concept that they should. But the problem is, if you are constantly using drugs to then make money, to then foment wars, it's all karmically wrong anyway. I mean, the real war should be done with our spirits, should be done in peace, should be done with an example of peace. Now, this is not happening in today's society because we are aggressively going towards an end-time scenario in which this confrontation will eventually manifest in the open. So these symbols that we have seen for hundreds of years, thousands of years, nowadays mankind is kind of treating them just as symbols. The symbols become maybe important if they are featured on your browser, on your computer, on your the link of that. Then a symbol might become kind of meaningful. Huh? We have memes, the culture of the memes, which are like magical seals that erupt on the internet. There is a different form of magic which is erupting on the world today, and is a form of magic that comes from the same source, but is using technology that wants to convince mankind, wants to bring mankind into their virtual world before marking them before taking advantage of them and doing what has been prophesied with the mark of the beast and everything else that goes along with it. So we don't need necessarily, 2020 will be the year in which the fundamentalist Christian, we have always seen the fundamentalist Christian saying this thing. We have always seen the fundamentalist Muslim saying other things. All this fundamentalism has always been targeted then by the people in the so-called, between brackets, normal world, which at times is simply the world of Maya, the world of illusion. And now these people in 2020 will not be the only ones saying these things. These things will open up for a wider group of people. The subject, we have seen it already, though, in the last few years, and I'm sure that you agree. I don't know when you started your adventure on the internet or your work, but I know that you have been doing it for a while now. Things have been developing. Let's say that when I was saying certain things 15 years ago, people absolutely not take me seriously and always laugh at the end. If they were kind of like idiotic, they would laugh even more. But nobody was really taking seriously what we are talking about today.
Well, since you're right, since I've been doing this, I have been seeing that it's like prophecy needs to be manifested. It's that whoever's behind these factions are doing whatever they can to make these prophecies of a great war. Whatever it has to happen in these prophecies, they want it to come forth no matter what, no matter what destruction they cause. It seems like these agendas are going to be pushed and they're going to cause them to manifest at any cost, would you say?
Yeah, I mean, they've been at it for a long time doing that, but it's not that mankind ultimately has control over something that comes from above and below. Mankind is reflecting something that, of course, is projected on them and is the result of a projection which is done not only in this dimension, but also in other dimensions. So we have an extra dimensionality that mankind still doesn't master. We master this dimension. We still don't know how to work out transferring ourselves in different realms, in different dimensions. The entities we are fighting or who are taking control of us because they are part of the Legion of Satan, they are extra-dimensional. They are multidimensional. And you can call them aliens, you can call them whatever you want, but you definitely have to acknowledge there is an extra-dimensional force at work that kind of intervenes. And then we are in contact with an extra dimensional reality through our dreams at times. But there is definitely a lot of parallel realities. This is not our only reality. So science tries to prove this. Once they will prove it, then we will be one step closer to realize who we really are in these universes.
So would you say that these entities are actually helping some of these darker factions push these agendas?
They not only help, they have to drain their energy from these darker factions so they can themselves then continue their work. They don't work without absorbing energy. Then there is the good faction that also has to lead a war against this evil faction. How can they do it if they're not projecting positiveness with maybe some prayers, with maybe a form of prayer that can influence magnetically and direct our will and focus it in a positive direction? But often, unfortunately, the will of today's world and today's people is to obtain matter, more control over matter, more control over the people that represent this matter. It's, I think, not the right thing to do, but unfortunately today's world is made this way, and slowly this aggressive Satanism which I've talked about in today's article on leozagami.com, mentioned by an eminent exorcist, this aggressive Satanism in basically being a real problem for our society at all. When you have the book for children with the seals of the demons sold at Walmart, which I've talked about also in my latest book, when you have the children playing with video games that are obviously inspired by demonic forces, you are destroying culture, you are feeding them with rubbish, you are giving them a tablet to watch down, and you can't watch up anymore. The moment in which you can't watch up, you have already lost the battle. So,
yeah, and I'm glad you brought up this. You had also mentioned about the darker side of technology earlier, but it seems like some of these darker factions, it's their largest tool now. Social media, the pushing of certain agendas through social media that are affecting the younger generations in a big way. We see these major cultural shifts that are being caused by these social media platforms and the agendas that they're pushing through them. Yeah. And it's very concerning, some of these agendas that we're seeing like pushed through right now.
Well, I've talked about it also in volume 6.66 about the fact that all this is serving the purpose of building up a cyber Satan in the long run. An artificial intelligence is simply the gate towards cyber Satan and towards the control that cyber Satan can have over reality. Instead, in my latest book, American Renaissance 2.0 and the Missing Link from the Invisible World, I still talk about this invisible link, but in a different way. I show also the roots, the spiritual, if we want to call them spiritual, roots of this whole problem, which are to be searched in the very foundation of the Jesuit order in this cave in Spain, and then manifested in 1540 with the foundation of the Jesuit order. And at the same time, the importance of the Sabbatean Frankists in all this. Sabbatean Frankists, which are linked directly with the Jesuits, and today the researchers like, for example, David Hank, have focused only unilaterally on the Sabbatean Frankists. But I wanted to bring proper historical evidence in my new book about the links of these two groups that operate in a very similar manner. And so it's very difficult to find also historical evidence which is accurate. But thanks to some very serious historians who have made some excellent work in various universities, in both Scandinavia and here in the U.S., they were able to find these traces or these links that are historical. Now, once we prove that, we prove that the Catholic Church has worked with the Jewish heretics because they themselves are heretics of Christianity. So heretics work together. We prove once again that heresy is basically Satanism in disguise. When it comes down to certain, of course, branch of heretics, because there is heretics that are heretics in the sense that it's quite laughable to call heretic. Maybe they don't want to do one thing in a way, who cares? Here I'm talking about people like the Sabbatean Frankists who endorse sin to then manifest the end times, manifest their messianic era. So they have to indulge in sexual magic, in occult operations. Historically, in my new book, Volume 4, I have proven not only the links, but I also proven the birth, for example, of specific groups like the Brotherhood of Luxor linked to the Sabbatean Frankists, and then the Asian Brethren linked to the Golden Rose Cross linked to both the Jesuits and the Sabbatean Frankists. So then I started to investigate who was there at that time, and then I found the links. But all this is important because if we understand the past and how this whole thing builded up through the centuries, we can better understand the present. And that's why in volume 4, I then have half of the book dedicated to the present, till now, to what is going on nowadays with the Jesuit conspiracy and the Sabbatean Frankist element. So I think that I have made in my research, in all the books that I made, and there are many, as you know, the trilogy, the Invisible Master also, is just an excellent book we published on CCC Publishing, which wants to focus instead on the entities themselves, and that means also that point focusing on the way they operate, their identity, their names in the various traditions, their extra-dimensional gates to enter this reality. How? Sometimes invited, sometimes taking advantage of the opening of a portal, which was maybe happened by natural means, but very rarely. Most of the time, they get invited.
Very interesting. Now, these entities, would you say that they have regular communication with some of these people behind the scenes in these factions? And would you call them demons, or are they actually extraterrestrials?
I would say that, you see, depending on their nature, we give them a role, meaning if they are more into the demonic, more into the dark side, they obviously have that aspect. If we're talking about angelic, we're talking about realms that are upper realms, so they are creatures that we can even, it's much more rare to even have contact with such entities, because they see in us the impurity, and so they are not really drawn towards us, if not in very, very rare circumstances. And that's why I hate always, and I always warn New Ages of the mockery which is done of angelic forms, angelic words, angelic tradition in the New Age scene, which is pretty superficial and says, you know, claims that everybody can talk with an angel, act with an angel, and all that rubbish. Now, here we're talking about serious stuff. We're talking about serious stuff. So, the facts are that we are in a moment of history which is unprecedented. We have had all the signs manifesting. People will see it even more clearly in 2020. Because the actual 2020 as a year is made to manifest this confrontation. And it wasn't surprising to see what has happened in the last few hours in the Middle East, in the international scene. It's normal, because if you know what has been happening in the last few years and how it's manifesting in an increasing way, then you are like, okay, we are closer to then prove that what I've been saying for many years is simply accurate. And that's why when I wrote Volume 2, which is considered now an old book because I wrote it a few years ago and actually published in Italy the first time around 2012, so I mean, I talked about the period of 7 years that will lead us to 2020. Now, 2020 is then the year, this end of the 7 year cycle, also for Pope Francis, that sees the end of a cycle of tribulation for something even more catastrophic. So let's see what happens. And we always pray, of course, that things will not affect negatively mankind. We are not, we hope, but we have to also be awake and aware. We can't continue acting in ignorance or acting with superficiality, because also the world of the so-called conspiracy theory, the truth movement, is a world which unfortunately is affected by a lot of poison. Poison inserted deliberately by some disinformation agent, by some negative forces at work, because they eventually want to simply spectacularize what is happening. So that's why there has been a lot of misconception also about the role of the real role of Freemasonry, the real role of many other institutions. But it's also important to realize that there has been a conspiracy, that there is powerful people that have used certain tools improperly and that they are using them to their advantage. So I think that it's incredible that we are living in these times, and I'm very glad of it because at least we are serving a mission in some way which no other of our ancestors has ever served.
Yes, there's so much happening right now. There's a lot of misdirection to a lot of misinformation in the media. And the internet itself, it's a double-edged sword because when we first started communicating like this, when we first started sharing this underground information that nobody knew about, it was great because everybody started to share around the world. This information was coming out, but then the powers and control started to catch on to what was happening with the internet. So now we're seeing a backlash of censorship, and it's starting to take over everything, YouTube, Facebook, social media, everywhere. And it's getting harder for us to get this message out, and it's coinciding with everything else that seems to be coming to a head right now. So it's very concerning about the future of voices like us trying to get this message out.
Yeah, concerning, but it was obvious that this will happen. I mean, it was apparent to me already back in 2008, 2009. After the first 3 years of coming out with my information, I already saw the results. Imagine this. When I came out with my information in September 2006, it took only maybe it was the end of September, I think, of 2006. It took maybe 2 months. I still remember it was the beginning of November 2006 when I was visited by the intelligence services of Norway, the police, social workers, literally threatening me in front of my ex now, wife now, to take my child and to do what they ended up doing in a different way, though. But they threatened me without any fear in front of witnesses, saying, "You have to close down this blog. That's it." So the moment in which there was that, and then we went immediately. I remember at the time we used to have a show on the GCN network with Zimansky used to have the show, and I went immediately on it. And talked about it, and it was pretty shocking for the people to realize that level of censorship. And that was just the beginning. Then I noticed how with social networks, right at the start, I couldn't have a Facebook under my name for more than a month. It would be closed down. I had to go on Facebook using another names, nickname, just to maintain my presence for a little while. Because then I had opened a website, and immediately I was attacked by Turkish hackers when I exposed people of the Fethullah Gulen movement. I didn't have the know-how or the experience I have nowadays to protect my website in a specific way with and do it. So I was like surprised, but and then there was this the thing that surprised me most, of course, was when they arrested me for espionage. That was, I mean, that was crazy. I mean, to actually come there on a specific day, put you in a car, wait, going around until the judge gave his thing so then they could bring me and lock me up and then interrogate me, this, that, and all that. All this for having brought out the truth on what was going on in Norway, in the underground bases, and other things that were said about Norway, the OTO, their connections to the government in Norway and to the educational system, and everything that we were denouncing also regarding the Monte Carlo Lodge when there was my conflict with the Monte Carlo Lodge. I mean, all this led to censorship. So I knew in 2009 when I started writing books and publishing books that publishing books is ultimately the best solution to all this censorship. And that's why I really became a writer, because you can only, aside from the fact that a book is hundreds of pages and you will need, you know, I don't know how many, a website is made of an immediate kind of reading. You can only focus on a page at a time. So it doesn't work in the same way. So books are much more, but the moment in which they censor you, then you still have the book. And the book is something that, yes, they can come after you to take this book from you or burn it, like it happened, unfortunately, in the darkest moments of history. Even here in the U.S., they burnt books. Let's not forget that. And it happened in Nazi Germany, and it happened in many other places, unfortunately.
So with all this going on right now, we have all this political tension, this social tension. We have rumors of war. What can we do to kind of combat this and maybe turn things around to where we don't enter a massive World War III?
Well, the possibility we have this year is unique because we have the possibility of putting Trump back in control of the White House to avoid something that will definitely and inevitably bring us towards a civil war, you see. Yeah, the thing is that people like Nancy Pelosi, people like Joe Biden, these people, the whole Democratic Party has become subservient not only to the Jesuits, but to those demonic forces which I've been talking about in this show. Those demonic forces which Ignazio Loyola conjured in a way during his time in this cave in Spain, where he started his spiritual exercises that will eventually be published and as a series of meditations, one of them on hell, by the way. And so the spiritual exercises are simply a mind control tool and kit for the Jesuit to then fight the Reformation and become the tip of the spear of this counter-reformation of the Catholic Church, which was already compromised the moment in which they enrolled the Jesuits in the fold. It was like asking basically Satan to protect the Catholic to the Catholic Church. I mean, at that point, you can't be Christian any longer. It manifested gradually. The Jesuits, like I explained also in my latest book, they manifested gradually their aim, to their interest, first of all, towards Atlantis, because they have always been interested in the lost land of Atlantis. And so after that, you have to understand that they found a lot of material that they never made public. They just simply sent it to the archives, they sent it to the Vatican, the secret parts of the Vatican Museum, which are not accessible to the public, and other buildings in which there are hundreds of things that maybe will prove a different history for mankind, a history that will inevitably maybe diminish the importance of the role. And also, we know that Catholicism is a compromise when it comes down to Jesus Christ, because it's simply the way of the Roman Empire to sanction that there is one religion at that point and that every single pagan god in the empire had to converge on that universal, that's mean Catholic, religion. So I know that now people are not very interested in studying old things, but they have to understand that these old things affect their present. When the Jesuits next year will discuss artificial intelligence in their headquarters in the Vatican, they will lay down the foundation for what is done in Silicon Valley. They will lay down the foundation for what is in front of your eyes now, because they are always one step ahead. They have control of the best universities, they have control of people like Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden. And so of course, Trump is no saint. He's not the best politician you can ever imagine. It's a guy who comes from a different background. He's not even a politician. He's actually a businessman, turned politician for necessity, who wants to fight the establishment simply because he's a newcomer in the elite. Him and his family kind of acquired, no? They are kind of nouveau-riche, as they would say. But that being nouveau-riche made him actually realize the injustice of the elite, because the elite always saw Donald, okay, let's keep him there as the entertainer, no? And so they always treated him as a friend all these people who are criticizing him now, there is always a photo of them and Trump maybe 10, 20 years ago when they were hugging each other, including Oprah Winfrey, Hillary Clinton, anybody. And Trump has become for them a nightmare because he's a billionaire who doesn't want to stand by the rules. And you see, when I started my confessions in 2006, we often try to imagine how it would be if somebody with a lot of money could attack the New World Order in some way. And we always try to search, you know, who could be this right person. In 2015, a team of people met together in Rome. And we decided that Trump was not only the right candidate, but he could be the one that could trigger this effect, because Trump is somebody who will not be stopped by offering him money, because he has money. So you can't buy him like Obama and say, okay, Obama, sorry, I'll give you $70 million for your book deal. Okay, fine. I will sell myself, my mother, my father, everything. Because he doesn't have anything. He sold himself. In fact, we know how Obama, Michelle Obama, sold themselves into Netflix, sold themselves with books. So this is to make you realize that Trump might not be the perfect person, but is the only possibility we have at the moment against the New World Order, against the deep state, and ultimately the only possibility we have to preserve the integrity of America and become and reverse this process, which is dangerous, is a dangerous process, this globalization process, which is destroying the sovereignty of each nation. And so Trump is really a savior, in a way sent by God, you know, like some people say. But why is he being sent at this moment of time? Because now things will get pretty wild. And I tell you, it needs somebody like Trump over there, you know, to keep the situation under control. Because if we have the other side taking over, they can only do it by illegal means, because they want to overtax, they want to mark you, they want to basically, with Elon Musk, put an interface in your brain, they want to enslave you, censor you on the internet because you can only say what they want. Everything that is emanating from these people is wrong. So we have to sustain Trump in 2020 as the last possibility we have, because if Trump is compromised, it's the end. End meaning the acceleration process towards a worldwide war, civil war for sure, and a catastrophe that will mean the immediate end of the civilization. I know it sounds like pretty apocalyptic, but it is. So it's like...
Well, you know, I hope you're right about Trump. I do agree that a lot of the...
You know what? It's like... There's no other option. So the other option is not even remotely acceptable. I mean,
this is the way I feel about it. I see a lot of the negative and I guess you could say evil agendas that are coming from the left that have affected our society in a completely negative way, and it's turning everything backwards. But I honestly don't trust either side. I haven't ever. I do see some things differently, but I still do not trust him because I don't trust the system at all. I think they all have their own agenda.
Yeah, sure. Your point of view is a point of view that doesn't want to trust the system full on. But you have to understand that we have built Donald Trump as the resistance. We that started this whole process, people like me, Alex Jones, and other people, but even David Icke, in a way, even if he's not a Trump supporter, in the end, he has realized that Trump is doing the right things against the enemy. Now, and many others, even in the alternative movement, whatever, even if they don't go and vote Trump, still they are acknowledging that, well, his enemies are really sick people. So the thing is, of course, you would prefer to have the perfect integrity, the person, But here is about involving yourself in this moment of history, because there is no tomorrow if you don't do it now. You see, while 20, 30, 40 years ago, you could do what you are doing, standing on the side, saying, I'm not going to side with the system. It's like something that my father used to do, or other people like him. It's, you know, taking a position intellectually that you don't want to side. But now it's different, because now we're going towards a full-on war, and you're going to have to side, because otherwise you're going to be taken down as an enemy by one of the two sides. And maybe the thing that people don't understand is that, okay, you can step back and ignore the election process and be, you know, like, for example, Jordan Maxwell is a great guy. He has never voted in his life. And I respect him for that. But he has lived in different times from us. A time in which it was a fucking, sorry the word, it was a joke. It was a joke. Politics was a joke. Politics was a joke. And tell you the truth, it was a very naive joke also, because people were, you know, you went there and there was the president, you elected the president, and then after the election, people would just go back to normality. The two factions would bury their things. It was just simple. And so you just go through this alternation of the two, you know? It's not anymore like this. This is going increasingly towards a direction that is going to become so ugly that even people like you will have to take the decision at one point, not because I'm telling you now, but because you're going to view things how they go. And at one point, you're going to be like, oh, God, now I have to decide, because it's like they're going to come for me. So it's as bad as that. And when they come for you, then it's too late.
Yeah, I certainly hope we can turn things around before it would have to come to that. But it kind of brings me to the question that we've seen civilizations rise and fall throughout history. It seems like we reach a certain height in our civilization and we either destroy each other or something else destroys us. Do you think that we are coming to that age again where we have to go through this in order to come out as a better civilization?
No, I think the errors of Atlantis are long gone here. We have already had things happening in the past with civilizations coming and going. I think that has been prophesied that this time will come, because, you see, we have the technology to bring it to the next level, to the level in which we create a new kind of man. But they can either create a monstrosity, a transhumanist monstrosity, or we could advance and we could really establish ourselves in peace and prosperity for all. But that's unfortunately only going to be possible after the confrontation, it seems, because the two sides are not capable of dealing on the important issues that matter. And while they're arguing, artificial intelligence is going to take control of our own lives. And then in the end, it will not really matter what me and you think, because the artificial intelligence will decide, sorry, I close down this. Oh, sorry, but it's 60. No, I don't care. Boom. And so, you see, while we are arguing for matters which are pretty trivial, the real problems of today's world that will become the problems of our children, the problems of our descendants, the problems of our race are not being discussed. And they have to be discussed now, because if you can't discuss them now, you will never be able to discuss them. Because once you have the microchip, the interface, that's it. There's no discussion anymore. You can't talk, you can do it. So in 10 years from now, I will be talking to you. Yes? In the street, let's say, not here in front of the camera. And you will start saying things. And then at one point I'm going to watch and I'm going to say, but am I talking with you or am I talking with your artificial intelligence device?
Very interesting. Now, one more question before you head out, Leo. Do you think that we are also in the midst of a spiritual war, as in it seems like we're being bombarded with occult imagery and symbolism and movies? And, yes. You know, I look at Netflix, it's all, you know, witches and Satanism. Sure. You think we're trying to be indoctrinated into this satanic, lifestyle?
Okay, let's say this. First of all, we have the indoctrination phase one, which was very mild. They went through a benevolent kind of vision of the witches and the magic and the things in the 60s, and then went into the 70s, a bit becoming darker with all the films, from Omen to The Exorcist. So it became a little bit dark. And then you have, of course, the horror genre that started to expand. And then we have the violence also expanding from the movies into the video games. And then the society itself is, of course, nurturing evil because it's inherently evil. And so they want everybody to be demonically possessed, because the moment in which you are aware and spiritually conscious, then you will fight them. But you see, that's why they are moving very fast against the First and the Second Amendment. Once they are able to sabotage these two amendments, that's it. It's the end for us as a human race that is free of any obligations, because then these people will demand things. And what will they demand? They will demand your children, because they will have to sacrifice them. They will start demanding things in the open that now are only projected maybe in fiction on Netflix or God knows where. But Hollywood is preparing the way, you know? So they are normalizing the occult, cannibalism, incest, pedophilia, and everything. So everything becomes normalized. Once you have relatively control over the normalization of everything, then they will come out in the open and show who they are. And this is 2020, the year in which they will show more visibly their faces. And you will notice them from their faces. You will see that, oh, watch, Madonna is possessed. Oh, watch, Nancy Pelosi is possessed. Oh, watch, the Pope is possessed. He showed, and then they will be like, So this year has started with the Pope showing his face, and it will continue with the whole of Hollywood, of the political arena, simply showing their demonic faces. Now, once you notice that they are all demonic, what is the next step? The next step is to fight them. And so God has to protect them.
That Pope meme, I think that's going to be the best one of 2020, where he's slapping the lady's hand. That was just a perfect shot of him.
It was a perfect shot of him, but you see, it's not only Pope Francis. Pope Francis is the tip of this iceberg. It goes down, and it has Greta Thunberg. It has Greta Thunberg with her, you know. I mean, watch this. I mean, you just watch all of them. They are simply demonic because they are possessed. Now, the possession comes from these entities who are manifesting increasingly as a legion that is taking control of humanity and that we are following on the cliff and even after the cliff. So I'm not going to go that direction, and I hope you're not going to go, but the moment in which we're going to resist that direction, well, my dear friend, you will have to take a decision, because to avoid going to that direction, you will need help. You will need the resources, and you will be basically fighting a war. So good luck with being on your own and not taking sides. It will be like throwing you in the middle of the Middle East and say, oh, don't take sides. Just wait. Just watch them. Don't worry. Don't take sides. They will take your side, 1, 2, and 3, and break you in various parts.
Well, like I said, I sure hope that we can turn things around and it doesn't have to come to that. And Leo,
one series on Netflix which I think people should focus as a matter of study in the next month is the new TV series called Mashiach. They are working on a project and they're presenting it to you. So keep an eye on that TV series. It's 10 episodes because you're going to
What is that again? What is it called?
Mashiach.
Hey.
It's the preparation at the last level, because we are going to the preparation mode for both the Antichrist and, of course, the Savior. So,
very interesting. And Leo, thank you so much again for coming on tonight. Before you go, let everyone know where they can find your work, YouTube, social media, everything like that.
Yes, you can find always my articles and my work on www.leozagami.com. You can find, of course, my videos, my latest shows with the Leo Zagami Show on the Leo Zagami channel on YouTube. And you can also find my books on Amazon, also Barnes & Noble. My latest book is Confessions of an Illuminati, Volume 4, American Renaissance 2.0 and The Missing Link from the Invisible World. And I hope that you all have a great 2020. And like I say in my book, this is very important. It can either go one direction and we can have a true American Renaissance 2.0. We can really make ourselves and the rest of the world a better place with the help of America, if they don't sabotage what Trump is doing. Otherwise, it can go in a very, very negative direction, which is civil war. And these two things I have presented in my new book, Volume 4, because I want people to realize that we are maybe living the next decade, the most important decade for the future of mankind. Thank you so much, and God bless you all.